Hey, I'm going to ask you a question. How's your sock drawer looking? Is it scary? Maybe it's time for a spring cleaning and refresh. Bombas just dropped a bunch of absurdly soft new socks, tees, and underwear to help you get that drawer in a better place while doing a little bit of good. Look, when I open up my sock drawer and I see a clean pair of Bombas sitting on top, not only do my feet sort of jump for joy, but like I can't wait to get them on my feet because I know they're going to be cozy. I know they're going to be the best socks in the house, and I know that they're going to keep me going all day long. They've got some great details that have been obsessed over, including the honeycomb arch support, which I love, anti-blister tabs, which I also love. What that is, it's a little bit of the heel that goes up a little, just a smidge higher, like in a whatever the perfect amount higher is, that's how high it goes. Bombas has figured this out. And they've got cushioned footbeds that feel like little pillows on your feet, not to mention the buttery soft tees and underwear with no itchy tags. Oh, I hate an itchy tag. And Bombas is like, don't worry about it. We do too. And look, the best thing about Bombas is that when you purchase an item, Bombas donates an item. That's right. Every time you buy their socks, tees, or underwear, you're also donating essential clothing to someone facing homelessness. To date, Bombas has donated over 100 million clothing items and counting. I mean, Bombas can make returns easy as well. I don't know why you'd return anything because what? But they do have a 100% happiness guarantee. So if the dryer or your dog eats a sock, or if you're unhappy with your purchase for virtually any reason, they'll do whatever they can to replace it and make it right. Bombas has a spring collection out right now. That means new colors and new fun. That's right. They have garden party socks that bring the party to your feet. They got stripes. They got florals. They've got vintagey colored rib socks. You know, those like, you know, stripes on the top of it. It's like, oh, hey, look at me. I'm a vintage soccer player or track person. They've got those too. And they even have a new pointelle sock with a frilly cuff. You know, if for all you frill seekers out there, folks, all I'm saying is you heard me talk about Bombas for years now. I don't know why you haven't done anything about it. Get comfy this spring and give back with Bombas. Head over to bombas.com/adventure and use the code adventure for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/adventure. Use the code adventure at checkout. Trust me, your feet will thank you. Forward. 3, 2, 1. So much better. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Matt and Dory's Excellent Adventure. I'm Matt.
I'm Dory.
Hope you all had a lovely Hanukkah season. We finished it out. 9 candles burning at once.
So many candles.
It was unbelievable. You've never seen such a distracted child at dinner.
He kept turning around. At first, I thought he was looking at our Aura photo frame. Mm-hmm. But no, he was watching the candles to see which one was going to burn fastest.
Yes, like staring at them. Mm-hmm. Like a little pyro. A little future arsonist.
Don't say that.
Look, all kids are fascinated with fire. I was fascinated with fire. I nearly burned down our house.
Oh, no.
Set the trash barrel on fire next to the house. Oh, luckily, our next door neighbor was the fire chief for Lowell or Tewksbury. I forget which.
Well, that's convenient.
So he was right there with the hose, garden hose, putting out the trash fire. I believe I started it with a RoboCop action figure and a roll of caps.
A roll of caps? What does that mean?
You know, caps, a little gunpowder.
Oh,
on a strip.
Sure.
For like cap guns and stuff.
Okay.
You don't know what caps are?
No, I don't.
This is insane. If
I was not a pyro.
We
got to
run a poll. We got to run a poll. It's not being a pyro. Just being a child.
Okay.
Anyway, caps used to come in rolls, little paper rolls.
Sure.
And the RoboCop action figure had a little trigger on the back of it so that you could, you know, shoot RoboCop's gun just by making the caps pop. So then I thought, wow, if that's what that does, what if I lit a roll of caps on fire?
Wow, what if you did that?
Well, I'll tell you what happened. I almost burned down our home.
That seems bad.
Do you say your brother never had a cap gun?
No.
Really?
Yes.
Michael, if you're listening, please let me know. Dory's little brother, let me know if you had a cap gun.
To my knowledge, he did not, but
I'm going to ask him right now. I don't know everything. I'm texting him. I'm going to ask him right now.
Okay. I can't imagine that is something my parents would have let him have, but.
So I'm going to ask, did you ever have a cap gun?
Watch him be like, what's that? Then I will be vindicated.
I wish we had I wish everyone was at our disposal so we could always call them and they could be on the podcast.
Just
live shows.
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Yes. Well, he says he did not have a cap gun. Wow.
Thank you.
He says he wishes he did.
Okay, but he didn't. So there.
This is crazy to me. There wasn't a Josh Leibowitz down the street who had a fucking cap gun. No one had a cap. This is crazy.
No, not a thing where we lived.
Where you lived.
Yeah, not a thing. No one I knew had one. I never went over to someone's
Michael
house.
Michael says that seems odd that you didn't know what a cap gun was.
Well, I was, very.
They sold them at Market
child.
Basket, for crying out loud.
We never went to Market Basket. There wasn't one near us growing up.
They sold them at Star Market.
No, they didn't.
Guarantee you they did. This is wild to me.
Ay, ay, ay.
Do you even know? Do you know what I'm even describing?
I'm going to Google it. Cap gun. Absolutely not. No, we definitely didn't have one of these.
I need to know what comes up when you search it. Oh, yeah, with the little orange bezel. The orange,
Yeah, but some of these look like real guns.
Yeah, well, you didn't get the ones that look like real guns. You get the orange ones.
Okay, we didn't
have
them.
Jeez Louise.
Oh, my God.
Not even Colonial Williamsburg? You never bought a single shot cap gun?
We never went to Colonial Williamsburg.
You just lived a sheltered life, I guess.
I guess so.
I mean, wow. This is blowing my mind right now.
I'm a pacifist, unlike you.
I am. I'm not neither. I appreciate cap guns and I support responsible use of cap guns. If you ask me, as long as you get a license and you're registered, go nuts, pal. Also carry insurance. We'll make it like cars. It'll be great. Guns will be like cars.
What is happening?
I'm just here to make sure our audience knows that you don't know what cap guns are, and I do.
Okay.
Very strange. Well, I was telling you about being a child arsonist. Yeah. That's where we started.
Wow. This this really took a turn.
It took a wonderful turn.
I'm
wistful about my youth now.
Wow. Okay.
All right.
So anyway.
Your brother said, now I know what to get Henry.
Absolutely not, Michael, if you're listening.
I assure you he's not listening.
He listens. He listens. Allison listens.
Only when it's titled,
Dory's Little Brother. Should we title it Dory's Little Brother Part 2?
No, because then we wouldn't have any awesome Brookline audio to play of your brother aggressively striking out. Anyway, if you guys don't know what we're talking about, head back in the archives, listen to that episode called Dory's Little Brother. Now, where were we? We talked about Hanukkah. Hanukkah's over. Henry.
Hanukkah's over.
Hanukkah Harry, home runs every night. Dory picked out some great presents for Henry.
I gotta say, I really did nail it.
Just some stuff that, also, I will say this. He seems satisfied with anything.
Well, why don't you test that out?
I'm just saying, I think the joy of opening and surprise for him is 70% of it.
Yeah, but he's also played with everything that we got him. So
how could he play with a onesie that has no feet?
Well,
has he worn that yet?
No, because it needed to be washed.
Correction, he hasn't played with everything you got him.
Okay. Gosh, have you always been this pedantic or?
Yeah. Where you been?
Oh my God.
It's so fun to annoy Dodo. We went out last night to my friend Nicole's house. I suppose our friend Nicole's house.
Yeah.
And there was some Ari trivia, guys. Longtime listeners will remember Superscript Trivia. If you want to have a trivia night, you can do it over Zoom. If you're in the LA area, you can do it in person.
It's very fun. It's a hoot.
2 hours of fun. And
they force Matt and me to be on separate teams.
They split us. And it's a Nicole rule. Because Nicole thinks combined we would be too powerful. A trivia force.
It's very funny. She doesn't force any other couples to split up, which should tell you something.
Yeah, it's rigged.
I don't know what it should tell you, but it should tell you something.
Even though, anyway. I don't think I've ever beaten your team.
Really?
I don't think so. I feel like you always win.
I didn't win at your birthday.
I didn't either.
Wow. And there were only three teams.
That's right.
Well, my team won last night.
Yeah.
In what I would call a landslide.
It was a well-timed doubling and an excellent knowledge of general trivia from everybody involved. You know, granted, you had six people. We only had five.
Oh.
We were the fiver. We were the five team.
The fiver is tough because sometimes it is that sixth person who, like, right.
That
really
rando,
brings it.
That rando, you know, thing that they know.
Yes, exactly.
That makes a category.
It's always the person who's like, I am so bad at trivia. I don't know anything. And then they're like, the fourth Teletubby is, you're like, what?
Yeah, because they think trivia is like the Battle of Waterloo.
Right.
What did Napoleon, you know, it's like,
yeah,
they think that's trivia. But nowadays, trivia is anything.
Listen, somewhere in the back of my brain, I remembered that a baby oyster is called a spat.
That's fucking weird.
I don't know how I knew that, but I did. And then I was also like, I think a hair is a leveret, and it was. So there was something just like in my brain that like knew these sort of obscure.
Do you think that's why it's called leveret circle?
No.
Okay. You sure?
Because it's two T's, leveret circle. And leveret hair is only one.
Oh, the first I've ever seen that word was last night, so I don't remember how it was spelled.
Well, I do.
Well, la-di-da, okay?
La-di-freaking-da.
Congratulations on your win.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations.
We got to choose from an assortment of Trader Joe's boxed chocolates, which was exciting.
I mean, prizes this time. Wow, this is impressive.
Real prizes.
She really pulled out all the stuff. She rented six heaters.
She rented heaters. She had more tables than she usually has.
Unbelievable. It's incredible.
Pretty exciting.
I could not. I'm not that good at parties, I guess.
You're not that good at parties?
No, I wouldn't think to get outdoor heater things.
Oh.
Nor would I think.
She always has heaters.
Yeah, but she's always freezing.
I mean, I appreciate
it. I would personally never think to get it.
Really?
Yeah.
In December at night outside, I would think to get heaters.
In December at night outside, I'd be like, this is the best. Woo. No,
I would get heaters. I would 100% get heaters.
December to remember sales event.
Before we went over there, we took Henry to like a holiday light thing at Descanso Gardens, which is a botanical garden.
Yes. Celebrity sighting, Topher Grace. You're welcome, everybody.
We did see Topher Grace and his family. Mm-hmm. Actually, before I knew it was Topher
Grace. I was like,
Grace,
that's so many kids. That's a lot of fun.
I noted that his oldest daughter, who I think is probably about five, mm-hmm. was like gently like sort of like embracing her younger brother as they were walking. Like it was very sweet. Like I remember thinking, oh, that... They have such a sweet relationship, those siblings.
Did you see them sitting on the bridge?
Yes.
It was like a greeting card.
Yeah.
Like a children's greeting card.
Yes.
Anyway. Yeah, so the light show, I would say, I don't, was it, I think, was Halloween better or was this better? I don't know.
I enjoyed this more partly because it was already dark when we got there.
Right. Yes, that's true.
And Halloween, our tickets were for 6, but at that time of year, that is before sundown.
Mm-hmm.
And so we wandered about for close to half an hour before it like got dark. And like the light, I mean, the lights are cool, but in the light, they don't really look that cool. So it was nice to get there at 5:30, which is when our tickets were for now, but obviously yeah. It gets dark earlier now. And I thought the lights were pretty amazing. But
it's a surefire hit. Although I will say this, Henry fell asleep in the car on the way there and didn't believe us that he fell asleep.
That was so funny.
So he asked how we got from Melrose, which we didn't even take. He's like, how did we get from Melrose to here? Like, he thought that, like, we turned off Melrose and ended up at Descanso Garden. For those listening who don't know the area, that's like,
it's quite far.
12 miles.
He also was like, that was so fast.
And yeah. We were
like, yeah, because you were asleep.
And he's like, no, I wasn't.
Yeah, he really was like, no.
He's like, I almost fell asleep.
Yeah, it was so funny.
It was adorable because he put his hood up and then he was out.
It's funny because I feel like he's usually aware when he falls asleep.
Yeah.
And
I think genuinely last night he didn't think he fell asleep.
Yeah. It was very funny. All right. Well, should we take a little break?
Yeah. You know, good as time as any.
Okay. We'll be right back.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm going to ask you a question. How's your sock drawer looking? Is it scary? Maybe it's time for a spring cleaning and refresh. Bombas just dropped a bunch of absurdly soft new socks, tees, and underwear to help you get that drawer in a better place while doing a little bit of good. Look, when I open up my sock drawer and I see a clean pair of Bombas sitting on top, not only do my feet sort of jump for joy, but like, I can't wait to get them on my feet because I know they're going to be cozy. I know they're going to be the best socks in the house. And I know that they're going to keep me going all day long. They've got some great details that have been obsessed over, including the honeycomb arch support, which I love. Anti-blister tabs, which I also love. What that is, it's a little bit of the heel that goes up a little, just a smidge higher, like in a whatever the perfect amount higher is, that's how high it goes. Bombas has figured this out. And they've got cushioned footbeds that feel like little pillows on your feet, not to mention the buttery soft tees and underwear with no itchy tags. Oh, I hate an itchy tag. And Bombas is like, don't worry about it. We do too. And look, the best thing about Bombas is that when you purchase an item, Bombas donates an item. That's right. Every time you buy their socks, tees, or underwear, you're also donating essential clothing to someone facing homelessness. To date, Bombas has donated over 100 million clothing items and counting. I mean, Bombas can make returns easy as well. I don't know why you'd return anything because what? But they do have a 100% happiness guarantee. So if the dryer or your dog eats a sock, or if you're unhappy with your purchase for virtually any reason, they'll do whatever they can to replace it and make it right. Bombas has a spring collection out right now. That means new colors and new fun. That's right. They have garden party socks that bring the party to your feet. They got stripes. They got florals. They've got vintagey colored rib socks. You know, those like, you know, stripes on the top. Of it. It's like, oh, hey, look at me. I'm a vintage soccer player or track person. They've got those too. And they even have a new pointelle sock with a frilly cuff. You know, if for all you frill seekers out there, folks, All I'm saying is you heard me talk about Bombas for years now. I don't know why you haven't done anything about it. Get comfy this spring and give back with Bombas. Head over to bombas.com/adventure and use the code adventure for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/adventure. Use the code adventure at checkout. Trust me, your feet will thank you.
Okay, we are back. Just a reminder, you can email us at dorianmatt@gmail.com or mattanddory@gmail.com. Call or text us at 413-461-BABY. Thank you to everyone who wrote or called in this week. Oh, and I just remembered I forgot to do the voicemails.
What do you mean by do them?
I forgot to like download them.
Gotcha.
You know what? They're kind of evergreen. We can do them next week.
Wow.
Okay. This is from Amy. Hey guys, I can't stop thinking about this article and wanted to get your thoughts. Wait, this is what?
You didn't tell anybody how to email us.
Yes, I did. I literally just did.
With the voice. That's when you forgot about the voicemail.
Yes.
Sorry.
It's okay. All right. Amy said, hey guys, I can't stop thinking about this article and wanted to get your thoughts. And then this is the summary of the article that she included. A Maine woman has accused a retired Boston fertility doctor of impregnating her with his own sperm when she expected to receive anonymous donor sperm during an artificial insemination procedure decades ago. In a lawsuit filed Wednesday in U.S. District Court Boston, Sarah DePoyen states that in 1980, she and her husband went to Dr. Merle Berger for an intrauterine insemination, and he told her she would receive sperm from a medical resident who resembled her husband, who did not know her, and whom she did not know. Instead, the suit alleges he inserted his own sperm into her body. I feel like this story comes up like every...
Sounds like she got herself a Merle Berger. Ew. That's what he calls it.
That's gross. That is so gross.
It is. I apologize. Still funny.
Anyway, I feel like this comes up every few months.
So this is as a result, due to results of a DNA test, to which I wonder what showed up in the DNA test that she's like, this has got to be the doctor's baby.
Probably some, like if you do a DNA test on Ancestry, it will give you.
Oh, show your relatives.
Yeah, it'll show you relatives. So.
Well then, I mean, hey, probably if it's like you're closely related to Dr. Merle Berger, I'd be like, whoa, okay, this is now you got a suit on your hands. I mean, look, yeah, I think Henry's mine? 40% yes.
What are you talking about?
He's blonde.
Uh-huh.
And has blue eyes.
Yes.
And is named Henry. That's not my name.
Uh-huh. He looks like every child in my family.
Yeah, that's you. I guarantee. Yeah, I'm sure he's yours. Yeah. No problem there.
He also like has your obsessive brain.
But like, you know.
He has your photographic memory. For sure.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. No fertility doctor has ever possessed such a memory.
I don't think he belongs.
Look, to our I'm saying doctor. That I think he's Dr. Kelly Beck and yours.
That would be weird.
Yes, it would be. Is that a sitcom?
Yeah, I mean, look, you want to get our thoughts? My thoughts are that these doctors were playing God and thought they would never get caught, and now DNA technology has advanced. So
can we blame him? The human genome wasn't even mapped back then. This guy didn't think it was coming up. He was going to catch him.
I mean, look, who knows why he did it? He might have done it because there was no sperm. Like, he didn't have sperm available.
Oh, no, I dropped the sperm.
Yeah, or like, I thought I was going to be able to provide it with, you know.
No excuses.
I'm not excusing it. I'm just saying, like, oh, who knows what went through his mind? Or he was just like, whatever, it's just easier if I do it.
Gross. It's all gross.
Yes, I agree. Okay. Matt, we got several emails, messages, etc. about sleep studies.
Okay.
So this first one is from Diane. Hello, Dory, Matt, Henry, and Bo. I also just want to note, Diane M. Martin is a longtime, I would say, OG listener and Patreon supporter.
Diane M. Martin.
Possibly our number one fan.
I've known her forever? Like, When did I first
She was a Nerdist fan, right?
Yes. I'm trying to remember if I first met her at the Doctor Who convention or if I first met her at like a Comic-Con or a show that we did out in Massachusetts on the East Coast. I can't remember. It's one of those, but it's an early on in the Nerdist run.
All right. I went to comment on a December episode on Patreon, but it looks like the last episode that was there as of today was the British Baking Show. Yeah, we have not recorded the December episodes yet. Only That's the November true. Ones. I agree with Matt. The overnight sleep study was the worst night of sleep. The mask they used for the study made my eyes so dry. I hated having something on my face at night. I think in-home testing would be best because it will give you the most accurate results. And then she linked to an at-home sleep test at lofta.com. I hope that Matt can get a CPAP machine soon. We all want to be well rested and not falling asleep when you're podcasting. To be fair, Andy's voice has a calming effect. I hope you all have an awesome holiday season. Thank you for your podcast. They are like audio greeting cards.
Aw.
I told you I fell asleep during
You did the Star tell Trek, me that.
And then I left it in. I didn't edit it out. I left it in because I started snoring.
That seems not normal.
Of course it's not normal. I was sitting at this desk and I was like, the amount of times I've dozed off here at this desk, like just sitting, it's like crazy. Like I don't even have, like my watch didn't even record sleep data for last night, so I couldn't tell you if I got any sleep. The night before, I had 2 hours and 3 minutes, 13 minutes. Mm-hmm. So.
And yet you're resisting doing anything about it.
Did I not see a doctor on Tuesday and go get blood work on Wednesday? Is this someone else you're thinking about?
No, but you're not like
it's all in there. Look at the sleep study. It's in the order. It's in the lab order. What are you talking about?
Okay. You didn't tell me that. Why are you
you're being so rude, thinking I don't do anything about it when in fact I did.
Okay.
Oh, maybe it actually was Thursday. I'm sorry. It wasn't Tuesday, it was Thursday.
Okay. Jeez.
Anyway, I was getting all kinds of things done. I was like, gotta do this, gotta do that, gotta sell some head covers, gotta sell, gotta get my golf trolley fixed that's been sitting, collecting dust for a year and a half, 2 years. I recontacted the company.
Did they respond?
Well, I sent it at like 1 o'clock on Friday. They're hours until like 3 o'clock. Pacific, and then I'm sure they'll be in Monday. I don't think they're doing anything over the weekend.
All right. Well, I hope they get back to
you. And what else did I do? Oh, saw my shrink, saw the doctor, had a doctor's appointment, had 7 vials of blood taken.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, here she's like, let's now, you know, berate Matt for not doing the thing he did. I haven't gotten a sleep study yet, but I've discussed the sleep apnea with the new doctor. So just pump your brakes. Okay. Thank you. Diane M. Martin,
I'm glad to hear that.
You don't live with me. How could you know I went to the doctor?
I wish I was off the hook. All right. This is from Allison, who says a sleep study can be done at home with a pulse monitor and a light oxygen mask. My husband refused for years to get one done because he, like Matt, had one when he was younger and everything was fine. After many years of symptoms indicative of sleep apnea, he finally did another sleep study last year. We were pleasantly surprised to learn that it was a take-home study done with a pulse monitor and a loose oxygen mask. Of course, the study showed severe apnea, and my husband has been mostly using machine ever since. Happy Hanukkah, Allison.
Thank you, Allison. That's interesting. A whole, like, you take home oxygen? That sounds fun.
Yeah, this is what I mean. Like, this is what the at-home sleep study is. There's, like, things that you have to...
You knew this?
Yes, because Sam, who wrote the next email, sent us a link to at-home sleep study, how to get sleep tested from your bed from sleepfoundation.org. And it says you pick some stuff up
office. Could I get sleep studied from my actual bed and kick my wife out for the night? That'd be great.
Sure.
Just kidding. It's not comfortable. I wish it was horse hair.
I mean, that's the thing. You like complain about not sleeping on our bed, but you actually don't find our bed comfortable. So it's like, I think you just want to blame me.
I'm not blaming you.
Mm.
Wow. This is like real victim mentality over here. She's got, it's crazy.
I mean, look, takes one to know one.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. Duh. Anyone who listens to this podcast knows that I have that. So it's like, I don't need to say anything.
All right. I'm actually going to share this one later. Okay. Josephine writes in to say, hi, Doormat, Henry, Holly, and Bo. I was listening to the latest episode whilst at work and now feel compelled to interrupt my work emails to send you a quick explanation of Christmas Eve versus Christmas Day in countries that celebrate on Christmas Eve, since Matt was wondering about what we get up to the next day.
Yeah.
I live in England, but I'm originally from Germany, where the main event is also Christmas Eve, same as for your Norwegian Advent calendar aficionada who wrote in last week. What this mainly means in Germany is that we exchange presents on Christmas Eve rather than on Christmas Day morning. Personally, I prefer this because it's dark out, just makes the house so much more cozy with the lit Christmas tree and candlelight or even a fire going. Mm-hmm. The big Christmas meal, however, in my family's case, a roast goose, is still eaten on the 25th of December. So that's what we do on Christmas Day, Matt. We basically stretch Christmas over 2 days. In case you are now wondering, on Christmas Eve, lots of families traditionally eat something quite light or modest. We eat sausages and potato salad. And I have other friends who eat a simple fish dish.
I love Germans. We eat something light. Modest. Sausages and potato salad.
I think this is due to some Christian tradition, but I'm not sure. I also know lots of people who disregard this nowadays and eat whatever they want, except for the big roast, which is eaten on Christmas Day. On Boxing Day, we lie around feeling full and eating leftovers, just like all other countries who celebrate Christmas. Not sure it's exactly the same in Norway, but maybe Liv will write back in to tell you. I also have a question. Matt, you mentioned having an advent calendar from 2022 in the boot of your car.
Yes.
Now we need to know, what else is in there besides golf clubs, of course?
You'd be surprised. It's not that much. What is the weirdest thing that's in there also? Non-golf related. I have 2 first aid kits. I have 2 spare blankets. I have, I would say 3 coats of varying rain protection.
Mm-hmm.
Giant umbrella. Some golf shoe. That's golf related, so I won't mention that. And an air compressor. Small air compressor. That's a DeWalt air compressor that runs on a 20-volt battery. Now, the reason why things end up staying in my trunk for a long time is because I would say 98% of the time my golf clubs live in the back of my trunk. So once you open the trunk, you see golf clubs, you see nothing behind them because they're so big. So it just sort of like leaves your mind. And that is my explanation of my trunk, my junk in my trunk.
P.S. As a German, I still feel bad that it was an angry German lady who deterred you from cycling ever since the incident. What can us Germans do to make it up to you and get you back on that bike? Maybe I can source a cycling theme advent calendar from Germany. Still love the podcast as much as when I first discovered it, Josephine. I've given my stats before. I still live in London in an 800 square foot house. Last time I accidentally typed 8,000 and you believed me. What am I, a Saudi princess? With 1 boyfriend and 1 65-inch TV, no hot dogs this year. Didn't avoid them, just didn't really encounter any.
If you said you had an 8,000 square foot place and also said you have 1 60-inch TV, I wouldn't buy it.
Mm.
Like, you need a couple more TVs in that size space.
Mm-hmm.
look. Germans have a lot to make up for just in general. We've all been there. I mean, America's not great, but, some sort of cycling advent calendar, that'd be nice. But that German woman did ruin me in biking. Absolutely. She's the worst.
She is the worst. all right, we're going to read one more email before we take another break.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay.
This is from Ron. Hey guys, it's Ron from Lafayette, Louisiana. I wanted to write in with a couple of things. One, with Henry's love slash obsession with time, did you know you can tell Alexa to turn on lights at a certain time or for a certain amount of time? My oldest boys have two smart lights in their room, and I walked in and asked Alexa to turn on the lights one day to grab their laundry basket and clothes hangers, and then asked her to turn the lights off about 30 seconds later, and she informed me that you could tell her to do this stuff. Also, to the listener with the Switch as a family Christmas gift, if this is to be for the whole family single unit, but everyone wants their own profiles, to have their own saves, buy the physical games. Digital ones are tied to the user with the registered Nintendo account and can't be played by other users, even on the same console. PlayStation and Xbox allow you to play whatever is downloaded to the console as long as the user that bought it is still registered on that console. We have four regular Switch consoles in the house, two that have died over the years, and probably 10 Switch Lite consoles, so I have a lot of experience with this issue. We've probably bought Animal Crossing 5 or 6 times between all the kids who wanted to have their own islands on their own consoles, and then we have a physical copy as well. My only advice besides that is to make sure you have a great storage solution for the games. I've probably lost over $1,000 in physical games between the kids losing them and the dog chewing them up.
They are so tiny.
We got a Switch the first year they launched for Christmas, so it's been over a long period, but still, hope everyone has a great holiday season. Ron, all the stats are the same, except we have a new baby boy in the house, so we are up to 9 kids at home with 10 total.
Ron.
It's a lot of kids.
I don't know what you're doing over there, but look, mazel.
Sure. Yeah. Congrats. Ron, thank you for this
perpetual
info.
Perpetual child thing is you're gonna extend it to like 36 years now of taking care of children.
It's a long time.
Which I guess, you know, given the millennials, it's probably normal now. They don't leave a house. Okay. Ron, you're the most fertile person that writes into this podcast. Thank you.
It's so true. Okay. We're going to take a break.
All right.
We'll be right back. Okay, we're back. This next email is from Jess. Hello, Matt and Dory. Season's greetings from your only child proponent. Just wanted to write in and say that Matt is correct that the east coast of Canada got a big dumping of snow a few weeks ago. Ours is all gone now, though. Thought Henry might enjoy this short video of my dog playing in the snow. She sent a video. Also thought I'd introduce Henry and you to Woody, the talking Christmas tree, an equally creepy and charming spectacle at my local Finally, wondering if you have any Palm Springs / Joshua Tree recommendations. We will be spending 5 days there in March. Sadly, we are missing the Indian Wells tennis tournament. Thanks for the pod. To echo other listeners, I appreciate the real talk. Money, stress, relationship, etc. Hope you have a prosperous 2024, either through gainful employment or a get-rich-quick scheme.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Care, Jess, Halifax, Canada. Still no hot dogs.
This is a terrifying talking Christmas tree.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How can I describe it? It's got a anthropomorphized human face coming out of the bottom of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it blinks and its mouth moves and it's pretty wild. All right. Thank you. Palm Springs recommendations, Joshua Tree.
I mean, the Joshua Tree Park is amazing. You should definitely go there. The Palm Springs tramway is very cool. Definitely buy tickets in advance.
Yep, sells out.
We once did a We once did a modern architecture tour of Palm Springs. That was very cool. You get to see all these houses. I would do that.
There's a lot of good golf down there.
A lot of good golf. There's a some good hiking. There's gambling, if that's your thing. There's some like there's some cute like vintage stores in Joshua Tree and Palm Springs, if that's something you're into.
Is there any food recommendations? I don't have any.
I haven't been to Palm Springs in a couple years, so I feel like I'm a little behind. Oh, Elmer's is like a fun
Dinery
type breakfast spot.
Place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dutch pancake. You didn't say if you're going, I don't know if you're going with kids, but if you are going with kids, the Living Desert in Rancho Mirage is a very cool zoo that doesn't feel like a zoo.
I think that's pretty all encompassing.
Pretty all encompassing.
Don't rent an ATV and go four wheeling. It's dangerous. Don't do it.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. We got a text that said, if you care for another early reading suggestion, Bob books are amazing. They focus on CVC words, consonant, vowel, consonant, so kids can learn to sound out and gain confidence reading on their own. I'd suggest them before the Elephant and Piggy books, and they have tons of sets. Just a thought. Feel free to take it or leave it. Thanks for the show.
How would you say the Elephant Piggy books are going?
About, I thought Henry would like them. He loves them. Like, he's really into them.
Okay.
In a way that has, quite frankly, shocked me. Couple things. I'm reminded that, like, what is funny to four-year-olds is not necessarily things that are funny to 46-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's things in there that he's, like, dying laughing. And I'm like, oh, yeah. There's also a lot of like repetition of words. So he gets to kind of like read along, quote unquote, like after he sees one word, he can recognize it. He's not quite like deciphering words that he's seeing for the first time. But like once he sees the word, he's like, oh, fly, like, et cetera. And he thinks the stories are very funny. So that has been a big hit. But I will also check out the Bob books. I've heard other people talk about them too. And they seem to be popular. Lane writes in to say, have you guys talked about how you found Holly? Any advice looking for a nanny / babysitter in general? We're planning to hire a nanny in the future, but have only ever done family / daycare center. It feels like such a huge decision. Someone taking care of your kids and in your home. Would love any advice from you guys or listeners. Lane, have written in before. No updates to stats since. We found Holly on Nextdoor.
Yeah, that's true.
Given
current state of Nextdoor.
Yeah, it's shocking. But she had posted on there saying that she'd like just moved to LA. She was looking for a nanny job, and the rest is history. I mean, I think we got really lucky with Holly.
I mean, 4.5 years later, she's currently with Henry.
Yeah. So like that's awesome. Hillary, who works for us during the week, was a referral from another mom who Hillary had worked for this other family for a few years, and her kids were entering elementary school and they didn't need a nanny anymore. And that was how we found Hillary. I do think that like personal recommendations are the way to go if you can. If there's like a local parents group on Facebook or elsewhere, you know, you can always ask in there. That to me feels like kind of the best way to go. I think my only real advice when you're hiring a nanny babysitter, like other than like checking their references and doing a background check and making sure that, you know, there's someone that you can trust, is like being very clear what your expectations are. Like, I think oftentimes people assume that like a nanny should just know what the parent wants or what the parent expects. And I think it's really helpful for both sides to spell this out really clearly. We have a written contract with Hillary. Like, everything is like very clear. And I think that's just helpful for everybody. Matt, do you have any thoughts?
I echo your own thoughts. No, I echo your thoughts.
Oh, okay. I said, do you have thoughts? And you said, yeah. The other thing I think that's important to keep in mind is like nannies are not housekeepers. Like you see a lot of, I feel like I see a lot of job ads that are like, they want a nanny, but they also want a housekeeper. And those are really separate jobs. And I think it's totally realistic to expect a nanny to help with household tasks related to the child. So like doing the child's laundry, cleaning up after the child, like, et cetera, but not like, unless this is like a very explicit arrangement, you're like, you should not expect them to clean your house or do your laundry. Just something that I've noticed. All right. We got an email from Andrea who said, I'm responding to the fun fact section of your last episode, Bo the Babysitter. Love these fun facts, by the way. Specifically, the fun fact about the fancy family with two fully decorated Christmas trees. Matt asked, have you ever met anyone with two Christmas trees? I'm raising my hand for my family, but I can assure you we're not fancy. Every year we get a real Christmas tree that we decorate with non-breakable ornaments and keep downstairs in the main part of our house. Then we have a small 4-foot fake tree that we put in my husband's office upstairs and decorate with delicate and breakable ornaments. It is the cat-safe Christmas tree because we can close the door to that room to keep the cats out. We came up with this idea a few years ago when we got our first cat. Turns out she is not a tree-wrecking cat. We didn't even need to have a cat-safe tree, but we loved having two trees and have kept doing it each year. Anyway, we have a second cat now, and he's also not interested in either tree except for sleeping under them on the tree skirts. Happy Hanukkah and Merry Christmas, Andrea in New York. Not sharing my stats because I have a few times before.
Thank you, Andrea.
All right. Well, that's a good use case.
I mean, it doesn't count trees. For me. 4-foot tree and a, no, I need two big, 2 6-foot minimum. Okay.
All right. All right. Another text. Howdy, excellent humans. Admittedly, I'm a few episodes behind, but that's okay. This is about the Patreon supporters who get their names read on the pod. Y'all were going down the list and my head offered a name based on where you were at in the alpha list. That name was Chinami Worth. 3 names later, who did you mention? Chinami. Remember a few years ago when you said no one listened to the names? I really, really do. And my brain is so creepy that it can almost predict the order. Happy Hanukkah, Beth from Edmonton. Only change to the stats is that as of yesterday, one of our cats is diabetic and arthritic. She should have plenty of good years left, but the transition might not be fun. I'm assuming we meant. And then Beth texted back to say, had to pause the pod again, still a few weeks behind. Dory, I see you. Similar to Matt. My husband makes fun of me all the time. Same reason as Matt. It drives me bonkers. I find it exhausting. And even though eventually I know he's kidding, the initial knee-jerk reaction of mine is not of joy. I tried to explain death by a thousand cuts, but it's still not really landing. I have no solutions, but wanted to offer some solidarity. Good luck to us both. Beth from Edmonton.
I don't even remember what she's talking about.
Yeah, because you do it so much.
What?
Mm.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You deserve it.
All right. Well, listen, thank you so much for listening.
Mm-hmm. I second that.
Thank you to our Patreon supporters. We like to thank you at the end of the episode. Next week is Christmas. I'm not sure if we're going to be recording a new episode or doing a rerun, taking a week off. So I figured we would thank all of the rest of our December supporters this week, just in case we didn't get to next week. And that's if you support us at the $5 level or above, you get your name read on the podcast each and every month. If you support us at the $25 level, you get a fun fact. And you also get the back catalog of the Patreon episodes at the $5 level or above. So thank you to the following supporters. Erica Brown.
Aaron Faldesi.
Aaron Riley.
Aaron Turley.
Frederick Roy handing out bags of isolinear chips for Space Halloween.
We're almost at Space Christmas, Frederick. Come on. For you.
Greta Truitt.
Haley Tryon.
Heather Haskey.
Hendrick.
Ivar and DC's Papa.
Jackie G.
Jennifer Olson.
Jennifer Steele.
Jenny Fick.
Jesse Hendricks.
Jessica Manilovich.
Joanna Rao.
Julia Schulenberg.
Julie Phillips.
Justine Adamick.
Kane McCall.
Caitlin Campbell.
Karen Thakershi.
Kat C.
Kate.
Catherine Shimmons.
Katie Allen.
Katie Regan.
Katie Jordan.
Katie Moylan Shorten.
Laura Dodge.
Laura Elliott.
Lauren Johnson. Sorry.
Lauren Schultz.
Lindsay Gish.
Linnea Wynn.
Lisa in West Virginia.
Lisa Travis.
Liz P.
Lynn N.
Marina Breed.
Martin Hedegaard Peterson.
Mary Wegman.
Mackenzie Erickson.
Melanie Jackson.
Melinda Phelps.
Melissa.
Meryl H.
Michael Roth.
Mike Zytek.
Molly.
Mariah Adamick.
Nancy Powell.
Nicola Hill.
Nicole B.
Nikki Bossert.
Narantha.
Optide.
Pam from Boston.
Pamela L. Ryan.
Pat Machewski.
Patty Curry.
Paula.
Phoebe Boone.
Robert Hamilton.
Robin K.
Sadie Massa.
Sarah Dauberman.
Sarah Friedman.
Sarah L.
Sarah Lavelle.
Scarlett Kaufman.
Sherry Olson.
Simone Vandewinkel.
SJV.
Spike.
Steph Grolnick.
Stephanie S.
Steve Harcourt.
Tanya K.
TB.
The Holterman Clan.
Tracy Jury.
Tyler Matthews.
Valerie Green.
Vanessa Ferguson.
Virginia McFeely.
Whitney Hoffman.
AJB.
Allison Patel.
Audrey.
Aurora and Zelda.
Ainsley.
Bertha Crowley.
Claire One.
Crescent Martin.
Danielle Nutriforo.
Deanna McLean.
Elizabeth K.
Aaron Gudge.
Jane Ennis.
Jen Brennan.
Jessica.
Julia from Germany.
Justin Valla.
Captain Cybertrini. His comm badge on his brown coat, batleth in hand, and Chris knife unsheathed.
Kate Laird.
Katie Davenport.
KK.
Kristen.
Laura Bennett.
Laura Madge.
Laura Cephalo. Lauren Cephalo. Sorry, Lauren.
Lisa.
Mary Fass. Sorry, Mara Fass. And then Mary Myra. Yeah. Mary Elizabeth Murphy.
Maud Tremblay.
Melanie Brownbeck.
Miriam Centeno.
Nicola Skidmore.
Nicole.
Purple Weirdness.
Rosina Bosco.
Samantha.
Shanna Mandel.
And Stephen H. Thank you all so very much for supporting the show and keeping us going. We look forward to talking to you guys next week or after Christmas, but soon. Bye.
Bye.